This time we thought we were going to have to come to church in a boat. This Sunday is sunshining. Amen? Amen.
We did kind of
did
in the van.
Did you float in, did you? Last weekend there was a flood here in town, and I was really kind of looking out my window to see if there'd be any animals passing by two by two. I thought maybe somebody got the blueprints to the ark and just didn't obey God or something. Maybe it was, you know. Amen. Hallelujah. It was kind of ironic that we were talking about the power of water here the last couple of weeks. And I mean, no, there's power in water. You ever get into moving water or flood waters, you don't have control anymore. Amen. It kind of does what it wants to do. It can move foundations. It can float cars. It can do, you know, it can move trees out of the way. It can do a whole lot of things. I mean, you know, we've been talking about baptism and things like that. I mean, no, there's power in that. There's life-changing things that happen through our, you know, our cleansing by the blood, our washing of the water by the word. The scripture says that out of his side flowed blood and water. I mean, no, that was powerful. There's power in that water. There's power in that blood today. Pastor Shirley was telling you earlier, you know, that at the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, growing up, I was always taught, if you didn't know anything else to say, just say the name of Jesus. And that was enough. Amen. My grandma would plead the blood of Jesus. You know, if there was a situation or there was a problem going on, she would plead the blood of Jesus. I've seen my dad many a time plead the blood of Jesus. How many know his blood has power? His life has power. If you don't understand his life, you're not going to understand his blood. Amen? Hallelujah. I've seen my grandmother lay hands on vacuum cleaners and they would start running. And, you know, I've seen things like that take place and things like that happen. I mean, no, God cares about what we care about. Hallelujah. He cares about the little things as well as the big things. I'm so thankful for the power of Jesus, for the power of his presence in our life wherever we are. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm thankful for the presence of his Holy Spirit that is with us no matter what. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. Hallelujah. We got a new grandbaby this week. Everybody probably already knows that, and so we are... Well, I had to say it anyway. Yeah, it was just head over heels in love. But, you know, sitting in the hospital room with her when they had induced her labor and it wasn't working out very well and the baby's heartbeat started dropping down, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And so we were convinced that it was just the monitor shifting and all that. And he's, doctor comes in and says, we're going to do a C-section. And I mean, I was thankful for the presence of God. Because I'm sitting there, he's sitting there telling everything could happen in this, you know, surgery. You know how they have to do and all those kind of things. But I'm sitting there speaking in tongues and praising God and praying because I'm saying, Lord, you got this. You got this all under control. Yes. I'm so thankful I didn't have to go somewhere to find the priest or the preacher. I didn't have to go look up my prayer card. I didn't have to, you know, go through any hoops. All I had to do was just lift my heart and lift my voice to God and begin to just declare by the Holy Spirit that before this child ever came, she belonged to you. Before she ever belonged to us. Before my child ever came, she belonged to God. Before she ever belonged to me. I don't know about you, but I take comfort in that. That every situation that we're in, every circumstance, the power of God is available at our disposal. It is at our disposal. He said, whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Aren't you thankful that you have the power to call on him today? And that when you call, he hears me. I didn't have to worry about if I had enough cells on my cell phone or enough bars or good connection. I mean, we got a 24-hour connection with him. It's not dependent on U.S. cellular, not dependent on, you know, any other systems of this world, but we have the power of the Holy Ghost that lives and resides in us. It is a very present help in the time of trouble. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for everybody who prayed, and I'm thankful for the blessings and the abundance of God that he gives to us. Amen. And the little bundle of joy that we have. I don't know if everybody knows it today, but today's Grandparents' Day. So if you didn't know that, happy Grandparents' Day if you're a grandparent here today. But, you know, I was thinking in the scripture about the, you know, just thinking over the last few days, the awesome responsibility that comes in raising children, raising grandchildren, all of those kind of things. And that's whether it's your own children or somebody else's children, whether it's in ministry, whether it's the neighbor across the street, whether it's the child in your class, whether it's the young man who packs your groceries, whoever it is. Let me know, you have an awesome opportunity every time you come into contact with someone to encourage their world, to change their world. There was a man once called Guy Rice Dowd, and he said, every one of us are molders of dreams. You have the ability to mold somebody's dreams, to say good things or bad things to them. Amen? How many know we have the opportunity to say good things or bad things to somebody in a situation that can change it one way or the other? Amen? Hallelujah. Many times, probably any of us in here, you know, have said things and think, wish I could just suck that back out. Wish I could just take that back and not say that. It didn't come out there sounding like maybe it should have sounded or whatever. But how many know your words have power? Do you believe that? Your words have power. And, you know, the tongue is an unruly member. It's hard to control the tongue. Amen? But how many know we have the power to speak life? The scripture says the power of life and death is in your tongue. To me, that's an awesome responsibility. We have the opportunity to speak life into every situation that we come into. And you know, what we tend to do is look and survey all the circumstances and see all the situations and think based on the facts that I've seen, and then we make a pronunciation. How many of sometimes you got to look beyond what you see? Sometimes you got to look beyond what you see. Sometimes you got to look beyond circumstances at hand and look to the power of what God can do in the life and God can do in a situation. And I guess if I was going to title my message today, I would entitled it Ready, Aim, Shoot. So now that I have all the guys' attention in here, Ready, Aim, Shoot. Any bow hunters in here today? Oh, we have a few bow hunters in the house. Bow hunters. I don't know a whole lot about bow hunting, but we're going to talk a little bit about ready, aim, shoot today. Go ahead and give me Psalms 127, Carlin, and I'm going to jump in there and go from that. I want to talk a little bit about building a house of faith, building the Lord just kind of speaking to me this week about Jochebed, and I'll get to her a little bit. You might call her Jochebed, or you might call her Jochebed, but how many know who she was? Anybody know who Jochebed was? She was a lady in the Bible. It's Moses' mom. Moses' mom, and we're going to get to that a little bit, but that's my point, and the fact that you probably know who, anybody in here know who Moses is? Everybody, okay, you heard of Moses. How many know before there was a Moses, there had to be a Jochebed? And that's what I want to talk a little bit about today. But let's go to Psalms 127 first and read that portion of scripture. I don't know if I'll get through all of these, but it's just what's on my heart today. It says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. This is one of those scriptures I think everybody ought to have either a bumper sticker, a t-shirt, or a magnet for your refrigerator. It's just one of those scriptures you need to know. Because you'll get a whole lot of comfort and a whole lot of rest if you really truly can look at this scripture and rest in the fact that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Unless we come to a place where we say, Lord, you are going to have to build this house. You are going to have to build this structure. You're going to have to build, whether it is our house of worship, whether it is our house that we live in, whether it is our household of our children and our faith and things like that. How many know unless your foundation is based on Jesus Christ, you're going to struggle somewhere in your life or in your relationship trying to get things to work and trying to get things to happen like they need to happen. How many know the number one main key ingredient that you must have is Jesus? Except the Lord built the house. And how many know he's not just the builder and maker of our house? The scripture says he is the chief cornerstone. In other words, he is the rock that the foundation depends on. Amen? He is the structure that everything has to be built on. The scripture says there was a wise man and a foolish man. Amen? You remember about the wise man and the foolish man? Both of them built a house. Both of them experienced rain and storms. Both of them experienced flood. But how many know there was a difference in the two circumstances of those house? The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the foolish man built his house upon the sand. How many know there's a whole lot of difference in how your house is built as to how it performs in the middle of a flood? We all know that, amen? And you can even have foundation under your house. But how many know when the floods came into Berkeley Springs last week, there were some weak foundations. There were some places that had not been cared for real well, and places shifted. Things moved because they could not withstand the force or the power of the water. How many know, as saints of God, as parents, as grandparents, as men and women of faith, there must be a chief cornerstone of our life. There must be a solid place. There must be a rock where everything in your life is built upon that solid rock. Amen? And that rock is Christ Jesus. And, you know, the number one factor I think sometimes missing is the understanding that everything that we do must respond out of our relationship with God and who God is in our life. Amen? It says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. I think about that. Except the Lord keepeth the city, the watchman waketh in vain. Have you ever laid in bed at night and waited for your kids to come in, and it's past the time and they have not come in yet, and then all of a sudden you start to worry about where they might be or where they've gone or why they're not home yet? You know, I had one of those circumstances with one of my girls one time, and she wasn't home on time, and I was thinking, okay, she should have been here. And then all of a sudden, I hear I live near South Morgan Fire Department, so the fire whistle goes off. So automatically, being mom, I think that must be my kid, you know? That's how we work. That's how we operate. I'm thinking, oh no, that's my kid. She's not home. She should have been. There's the fire whistles, the emergency vehicles. And how many know all of a sudden fear grips your heart and you've created this whole scenario in your head of what you think might be going on. And the fact of the matter was she was just running a little bit late and she made it home on time. But how many know there is nothing at that moment that I can do to change the circumstance except panic? I mean, there comes a point in your life, I have figured out, it's taken me, well, I almost told you how old I was, it's taken me 49 years to figure out that you can't be everywhere all the time. Revelation for you, if you haven't figured that out, you can't be everywhere all the time, amen? And so there comes a place in your life where everything that you've heard about faith and trust in God, you have to all of a sudden think, oh, let's try this out, let's see if this works, amen? Where you have to come to the place, there's many times, and I've told you this before, there's been many times in my life, in my house, in my household, where I'll say, Holy Ghost, you're going to have to go wherever they are. You're going to have to be their safety. You're going to have to be their protector. You're going to have to be their conscience. You're going to have to speak to their heart. You are going to have to take care of them because I can't be everywhere all the time. How many know in other people's lives, if you spend your whole life trying to be everything to everybody, how many know you're going to run out of steam somewhere along the way? You're going to get wearied, tired, or run out of steam trying to be to them what they need to find in Christ or need to find in Jesus. So it says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Verse 2. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep or rest. How many know there is a rest in Christ? Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Here we go. And as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are, or women, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Is that the last one? Okay. Go back to verse 4 for me. The scripture says, as arrows are in the hands of a mighty man. How many know you are, when Gideon was being oppressed and the children of Israel being oppressed, Gideon was threshing wheat by the wine press. And the scripture of the Lord says that scripture says that the angel of the Lord comes to him and says, "Hail, thou mighty man of valor, the Lord is with thee." And Gideon looks around a little bit to see who maybe that angel might be talking to him, and he's like, "You talking to me?" And he says, "The Lord is with thou, the hail, thou mighty man of valor." And Gideon's response to him is, "If the Lord is with me, then where be all of his miracles?" In other words, I don't feel very mighty right now. I don't feel like a man of valor. I feel a little bit left out, a little bit confused, a little bit. He's hiding wheat by the wine press. And I've always heard people preach this, you know, that, you know, Gideon, he's a coward and he's hiding wheat by the wine press. I beg to differ. I think Gideon's the only one that's got some guts to say, if somebody doesn't hide some wheat by the wine press, nobody around here is going to eat. How many know that was the first clue that he might have a little bit of strength? He might have a little bit of valor in him. I mean, no, God is looking for some men of valor to stand up and say, you know what, if somebody don't step up to the plate and hide a little wheat by the wine press, or get a little bit of a understanding of who Christ is and take a step in the right direction, the enemy just might overtake us and we just might be left out. How many know sometimes you got to stand up and stand your ground? Amen. Hallelujah. If ever there's a day that we need men, and not just men, men and women, to stand up and say, you know what? This is my territory. This is my ground. This is my house. This is my people. And I'm going to stand up and do something. Put my hand to the plow and do something. How many know the miracles that he said? Gideon says, well, where be all of his miracles? How many know the miracles he's looking for were in Gideon? He's like, Gideon, they're inside of you. You have the ability to set your people free. You have the ability to make a difference. You have ability to make a change. This scripture says, as arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. What an awesome responsibility it is to have in your care children or youth that are being equipped and taught and trained to be what God has called them to be. Amen. It is a challenge to us. It is an opportunity to us to equip the next generation with what God would have them to be. I mean, no, it's not enough for them just to know the God of mom and dad. I mean, no, there's a time and a place and a season where you got to know that you know God and you know the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I had to laugh when we were sitting there yesterday holding the baby, and she would just do a little quiver-like thing, and her daddy looked over at me and said, "Must have been the Holy Ghost." I said, maybe her and Pap's talking. It might just be the Holy Ghost. How many know we don't know that it's not the Holy Ghost? She's probably just having a little bit of breathing thing. But if my son-in-law thinks it's the Holy Ghost, it's all right with me that he thinks it's the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I mean, the scripture says, because all of a sudden now daddy's finding out there's a big responsibility on his shoulder. He's got a little girl. They brought her a tutu and a fancy little dress, and they said, you know, you could get her a little zebra print, like a bikini top or something to go with. And he said, not on my baby, you're not. I mean, all of a sudden, things change when you're standing in those shoes. I mean, but sometimes you got to stand up and say, you know what? Now there's a responsibility on me and my house to be king and priest in my house. There's arrows in my hand. And if I recognize that I'm a mighty man, I'm going to equip every one of those arrows. How many know the guy behind, or the gal behind the bow, must know where she's aiming or he's aiming at to hit the bullseye? Amen. How many know it takes some training? It takes some practice. And it says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. You know, I thought about that the other day. We're always saying, you know, we need to equip our children for their future. Amen. That's a great concept. No, I beg to differ. I'm equipping my children for my future. How many know they are our future? Because a few years from now, they're going to be running for office. They're going to be going to medical school. They're going to be making decisions. And they are those who probably be running the nursing home that you're in, or taking care of you when you go to the doctor's office. Or they may be the one calling the shots in government. But I'd just like to see somebody stand up and say, you know what? I've been raised in the house of God, and you may think that you got control of the government, but I know a scripture that says the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful and Counselor and Prince of Peace and Mighty God, Everlasting Father. How many know we need some men and women of integrity to stand up and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. This is how it's going to be done. These are arrows that have been trained by a mighty man in the house of God. And as they begin to shoot forth, and as they begin to go, and as they begin to hit targets, how many know somebody had to pull back and let them fly? Somebody had to have some training. Somebody had to have some direction and say, you got purpose in you. You got destiny in you. You got calling in you. You got potential in you. You got wisdom. You got understanding in you. If anybody else can do it, you can do it. Hallelujah. I always try to tell my kids, you're as smart as any other kid. If they can do it, you can do it. You know, we all of a sudden think, well, yeah, but they were raised this way, or they had money, or they had this. You got the same goods that everybody else is. What are you going to do with what's in your house? What are you going to do with what's in your house? Hallelujah. The opportunity that we have to impart into them to build a house. Except the Lord build the house. How many know there's some forming and some molding and making? And, you know, Dan and Wayne's in here. They can tell you. You don't start out with a full-blown house. How many know you start with the end in mind? Yeah. Amen. You got a picture in your head before you ever start. Now, there might be some adjustments to the blueprints along the way, because nobody ever sticks to the blueprints, do they, Wayne? Somebody always wants a change. Hallelujah. Somebody always wants to make a shift in there. But how many know you got to have a destination? You got to have an end view in mind before you start the foundation. Hallelujah. Because how many know everything has to be anchored to that foundation? There's some things you can do and some things you can't do. Amen. To make it structurally sound. People will ask Dan, I'm sure Wayne them all the time, can I do this? Yeah, you can. Would I recommend it? No, I wouldn't. Amen? You know, there's some things that just aren't smart to do. They're not wise to do. But how many know there must be a direction that we're going in? Yeah. And the scripture says, as arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. You want to invest in something. Invest in your kids. Invest in your family. Invest in a generation, amen, of kids. And you know, it's so heartbreaking. I tell you stories all the time, but being in the classroom or being in the school system is so heartbreaking to see and to hear the stories of those that don't have what you have, or what we sometimes don't value means everything in the world to some kids, amen. The breakdown sometimes of what the kids are missing in somebody to just stand up and be a man in their life, for a mom to just stand up and be mom in their life, to just be that catapult that sends them forth and says, you have nothing ahead of you but success and not failure. Amen? How many know you have to direct the path? Yes. The scripture says, order my steps. Hallelujah. David, the psalmist said, his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide his words in my heart that I might not sin against God. One of the greatest things you can do is to hide the promises of God inside the hearts of your kids and inside the hearts of your family and say, you know what? No matter what or whatever else fails you in your life, you always have the solid rock of Christ Jesus in your life. Yes. Yeah. To fall back on, to be connected to be anchored to. Hallelujah. So that you're not thrown back and forth or waver here and there and everywhere. How many know in decisions in our life and, you know, when you get ready to make, you know, step out of that nest. One of the things that gives comforts to parents is saying, I've done my best to raise them in the house of God. Now it's up to you, Lord, to help them to fly. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes it's not easy to learn to fly? Amen. Number one, you got to first believe you can do it. Amen. First, you got to believe you can do it. We like to go to the air show. For those of you who know this, my husband is a big airplane lover. He loves airplanes, and I like it too, but we go to airplanes, and I stand there and watch some of those air shows, and I think, whoever gave those people the idea you could do that? Whoever gave them people the idea that you, I mean, they can fly them airplanes within like breath of each other and lift them things up in the air. Like, who thinks of that stuff? Who lays in bed at night and thinks, so if I just do this, I bet I could take that plane right over top of that. But they do. Somebody dared to believe bigger than my realm of thinking. I mean, it doesn't even connect in my realm of thinking, but somebody dared to think bigger, to dream higher. I mean, Orville Wilbur didn't take no for an answer. When their mom or whoever, maybe it wasn't there, maybe somebody said, you know, that's not going to work. And the first time it didn't work, how many know they didn't take no for an answer and said, I think I know what I did wrong. If I fix this, if I change that. How many know people are going all over the world today because Orville Wilbur Wright didn't take no for an answer. Somebody, some mighty man in their life, maybe somewhere said, you got potential in you. You got greatness in you. You got destiny in you. And you don't even know today what your life might do down the line for somebody else. But how many know the gospel is being preached all over the world because we're able to send from everywhere. Airplanes can go all over the world to take the gospel. We can take supplies. We can the realm of what we can do, because somebody dared to believe, I think I can. I think I can. Somebody was equipped to think bigger, to think higher, to think at another level than what they had once known. Go to Isaiah 54 for me, Carlin, and bring that up. And then if you could get me, I think it's verse 13, then in the amplified version of that. I don't know if you can bring that up, but go ahead and bring it up for me in King James. And then if you can, bring it up in Amplified for me. Go ahead and do Isaiah 54, 13 through 17 in King James. And then go back and get me 13 in Amplified if you can. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. That's good stuff, isn't it? All thy children, this is a promise of God to the children of Israel, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Isn't that what everybody in here desires? Not only for yourself, but for the generations to come. And I don't just even desire it for my own kids. I want to see it in every kid's life. I want to see everybody have the peace of God that rules their heart. Hallelujah. Verse 14. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. That's good news today. You don't have to be smitten by oppression. You do not have to live in fear. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. The scripture says, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. Hallelujah. That's good news today. Amen. You have victory through Christ Jesus. You do not have to receive anything from the hand of the enemy. Those that would try to raise up themselves against your house, against this house, against your house, against the house of the Lord. How many know you have victory over them through Christ Jesus? Hallelujah, that we can live in a place where we realize that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Hallelujah. You have it in the Amplified one. Let's just read 13. And all your, this is spiritual children, let's say all your children shall be disciples taught by the Lord and obedient to his will, and great shall be the peace and undisturbed composure of your children. Hallelujah. I think that would make another good t-shirt, another good bumper sticker or magnet for your refrigerator. How many know we don't have to have turmoil all the time in our life? There is a power of God that can bring peace and comfort and rest and power in our life. Hallelujah. And that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. How do we learn those things? You're taught. I mean, you have to be taught not to be fearful. We are taught to be fearful. We learn fear. We learn anxiety a lot of times. We learn some of those things are learned behaviors. You know, I said a couple weeks ago, we use fear to control. Amen? We say to them, don't go out there. The boogeyman's going to get you. And we want them to not go out there to be safe. But what we do, we instill fear as a perimeter. And we use fear to control or fear to keep them. I mean, no, you learn fear. You can learn peace. You can learn trust. You can learn faith. The scripture's over in Hebrews. I don't know if we'll get there or not, but the scripture says, by faith, Noah prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Hallelujah. How many know somebody called Noah had to say, you know what, I'm going to build an ark because my household depends on my faith in what God has spoken to me. How many know you got to learn faith? Amen. I mean, you learn to trust in God. You learn. You know, we can probably go around the room and tell stories of times that you prayed and sought God for something and had no idea how what was going to happen. But at the last moment, God came through to you for us. Or, you know, I can tell you of times financially when we would just need God to move, you know, early on in our marriage and things like that. And think, I don't know how this was working. And all of a sudden, God would just step into the picture and move and things would come together. And you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, it was God. It was God moving on your behalf. How did I know to do that? Because I saw my parents trust God many a time. I saw them read. I saw them fast. I saw them go to church. I learned those things because that was the pattern that was before me. How many know we got to set a pattern? You've got to learn how to trust God. You've got to grow in those things. We must equip them so that when the arrow is shot forth, they're ready to go. They're ready to hit the target. They're ready to receive what God has for them and ready to be all that God has for them to do. Amen? Hallelujah. One of the hardest things, I'm sitting here looking at Morgan, and it occurs to me, one of the hardest things I ever had to do was when she got married was let her go to North Carolina. Amen? You know, it's hard to let them go. But what I knew in my heart was that was the path that God had chose for her. I knew that that was the calling that God had in her. And I knew and I trusted in the God that was in her. That I knew that no matter where she went, that God would go with her, that God would work in her life. And how many know he's got them in ministry down there and he's blessed them in so many ways. I know that. But how many know it's hard sometimes to be able to release them, to let them go to the calling of God. But as long as we hold on to them, we'll never let them fly. They'll never have opportunity to spread their wings and be all that God would have them to do because we want to hold on. Amen? It's not really so much about them as it is about us and what we want. But how many know there's great things out there for them? There comes a point of time when you say, I trust the God they've been raised to know. I trust the God that lives inside of them. I trust the power of God because there's a time when it's out of your hands and you just have to say, God, I'm going to have to trust you no matter what. I'm going to have to believe that the promises of God are yes. And amen. And when he promised to take care of them, the same Holy Ghost that lives inside of me is the same Holy Ghost that lives inside of them. The same call of God that's on my life is the same call of God that's in their life. Amen. How many know I am so thankful for all of the people in my family's life that they have contributed, whether it's been pastors or worship leaders or youth leaders or Sunday school teachers and everybody along the way that imparted something positive in them to help them build their house, that helped them establish who they are. I mean, you know, we're all still being, there's still people who impart into our lives. I'm thankful every day for people who can impart into my life something powerful, something life-giving. I still have tutors and mentors and fathers and mothers and spiritual fathers and mothers that I still draw on their opinion. I still draw on their influence. I still draw on what they can impart to me that will make me better than where I am now, that help me to grow up into all that God has purposed in my life for me to be. Now, I mean, know one of the hardest things sometimes is to take your hands off and say, Lord, I trust you completely to do what you said you would do. Amen? Because as you know, we want to hang on sometimes for our own purpose, but sometimes it's in the releasing and letting go that we find out they really can fly. Hallelujah. That we really can trust God to take care of them and do what he said he would do. Go to Exodus chapter 2 with me this morning. If I have time, I'll come back to that maybe. Let's go on over to Exodus because I want to hit Jochebed, your Jochebed, this morning. And as I said before, I'm reading some of the history on her last night. It says she's one of the greatest women of all time of the Bible. And then I look at, then I say, who is Jochebed? And everybody says, I don't know. But actually, we know who she is. We just don't necessarily maybe know her by name. And that's not a bad thing. Amen? It's not really important that we know necessarily that you know my name, but you know the God of whom that I serve. Hallelujah. And what's happening here is we're in Exodus chapter 2. And the children of Israel are just they're in bondage in Egypt, in slavery, and they're just increasing head over heels. I mean, their babies are being born, they're healthy, they're functioning. The Egyptian babies aren't increasing as much, and all of a sudden Pharaoh gets nervous. So he sends out a decree and he sends out a message and says that he's going to kill all the Egyptian baby boys so that he can control the number so that they won't become the Israeli. What did I say? The Egyptian. He's going to kill all the Israeli children so that they will not be more powerful than the Egyptian children. How many know fear does a lot of crazy things?
Yes.
Fear does a lot of crazy things. And so what they do is they send out a decree that all the Israeli children, the children of Israel, the Jewish children, are going to be killed by virtue of the mouth of Pharaoh. However, there is in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 1, there went a man out of the house of Levi and took a wife, a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took him. For him, an ark of bulrushes, and she daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. And that woman's name was Jochebed. So the Pharaoh has sent out a decree saying that all the children are to be killed, though they're to be slain. But how many know there's a Hebrew mom that says, not my baby, not my child? She says when he was born, she sees that he's a goodly child, and so she hides him for 3 months. And then she takes him. I mean, no, it takes a big act of trust, a big act of faith to take him and put him in an ark and put him in the bulrushes, thinking that maybe her plan or her scheme will work out. Amen? I mean, no, she had to do some thinking ahead to make some provision for a little baby named Moses. She had to do some things to prepare this little baby and to preserve his life. How many know we must do some things to prepare an ark for our children, for our generations, for our church, for our folk, that there is a place of safety, that we just place them in the hands of God and trust God to take care of them. But what ends up happening, they find this little baby. She sets Miriam out there. She said, now, Miriam, when this woman comes, you tell her you can find a woman to nurse this baby and bring him and nurse him until he's full grown enough so that he can come back to the king's house. The scripture doesn't tell us how long that this baby was nursed by Jochebed, but it could have been, you know, it could have been years. We don't know how long it was. But amen, amen. Caden's helping me preach this morning. But how many know one of the most intimate of times with a mom and a baby is when you're nursing them? Hallelujah. And I wonder if she just didn't sing him a few songs of Zion, if she didn't tell him a few things about what she knew, if she didn't talk to him about the Lord, if she didn't impart something into this baby in the time that she had him, so that when she had to release him into a system called Pharaoh and a system that looked a whole lot of like Egypt, that even though Moses lived in the Egyptian household and the house of a Pharaoh, there was never a heart of an Egyptian beating in his chest. It was always the heart of a Hebrew, so that when he grew up, even though he was raised in a different house, in a different time, in a different land, when it came time to stand up and there was an Egyptian going against a Hebrew, how many know Moses stood up and risked his life, risked his reputation, risked his place of prestige, risked everything that he had in a life of luxury to stand up and do the right thing? Somewhere he got some impartation, some training. How many know the scripture says when his mama saw him, she knew this baby's got a calling on his life. He's not like just any other baby. Now, how many know we look at every one of our babies and say, there ain't no baby like this baby. I mean, this baby, you know, I told him as they come into the hospital, be prepared to see the most beautiful baby in the whole wide world. Now, I'm pretty sure that probably Bob and Mona felt the whole same thing about their baby when they held it, and they should, amen? But how many know sometimes you just think, there just ain't no baby like this baby ever been born? Hallelujah. But how many know you got to see potential in them from moment one? Yeah. She said, you know what? The calling of the hand of God is on this baby's life. There's something destined for him. There's purpose. There's calling. There's something inside of him. And Moses, not only does she raise up a child named Moses, who is the greatest, one of the greatest deliverers of all times, who leads the children of Israel out of Egypt, walks them across the Red Sea, does all of the things, meets God face to face. She's got a son named Aaron, who's a high priest. She's got a daughter named Miriam, who's a prophetess. So you say to me, who is Jochebed? I don't know that name. You don't need to know that name, but you need to know she had some arrows in the hand of a mighty woman. And when they went out to do what they were sent to do, somebody had equipped those children in the house of God to know who God was and to be able to flow in ministry and do the and follow through with the calling and purpose of God in their life. Amen. How many know there must be some Jochebeds in the house that said, this is greater than even just about what I want. This is something about the calling and the gifting of God that's on a generation of people, that if we can ever empower them, the very thing that's holding me in bondage right now, the very thing that Jochebed despised where she stood right then, was the very thing that was going to deliver her out of that place, because she dared to step outside the box. She dared to go against status quo. She dared not to follow along with what the Pharaoh had to say. Hallelujah. She dared to do things a little bit differently. Amen. Hallelujah. One of the biggest traps I think we fall into, people say, you know, maybe none of y'all's kids in here ever said this, but kids say, everybody else is doing it. Everybody else gets to do it. Why can't I do it? I mean, you know, sometimes you don't have to follow status quo. Sometimes it's okay to say no. Sometimes it's okay to say, but you're not. This is how we do things in my house. This is what I think, because right now you're under my roof, my responsibility. I mean, you have a responsibility to do what's right for your house and for your kids. Hallelujah. And sometimes we get pressured into things, and we get pressured into situations to make decisions and really go back and think, you know what, I should have followed my instincts. I should have stuck with what I thought was right, instead of just going with the easy route. Hallelujah. How many know there was a risk to Jochebed to put Moses in the basket? Hallelujah. My guess is she had a relationship with the God that she knew and said, there's a calling and a gifting of God on this one, and I will not let them fall prey to the Pharaohs of this day. Hallelujah. You know, even though the Hebrew children were in bondage in Babylon, the scripture says they didn't eat the king's meat. They ate their own meat. lentils and their own porridge. We can be in situations where we might be in a land that looks a whole lot like Babylon, but how many know we're not feeding on the same things that they're feeding on? There's a different menu. There's a different diet. We're eating lamb. We're eating the bread of life. We're drinking the wine of His Spirit, His presence, His blood. How many know your diet may be different than the person beside of you in your workplace or on your job or where you're at, but just because you're in that court doesn't mean you have to think like everybody there thinks. Amen? I mean, sometimes you got to challenge status quo. Sometimes you got to make ripples in the river. Sometimes you got to stand up and say, but this is the way, walk ye in it. Hallelujah. We have a challenge, a responsibility to be what God has called us to be, but not just fulfill our own destiny or our own purpose or our own calling, but to empower another generation. Empower another generation. And here's the thing. I don't want the next generation to grow up and just be where we are. I want them to excel what we know. Yeah. Yep. Amen? I want them to go above and beyond. I want my children's anointing to be greater than my anointing. I want their calling and gifting of God to be greater than mine. I want to stand back and see what God does in their life, how He prepares them. How many know this is not about top dog? This is about preparing the next generation, because I know if I'll invest in them, they'll invest in me one of these days. Amen? We reap back from, you know, the positive of what I see going on in the youth and things like that, in our church and in our camps and things like that. How many know we receive back from them? I was blessed to go to Georgia this year. While we were in Georgia, they had the youth down there pray over all of the adults. And how many know when them kids took a hold of them people, they were praying for them. God was moving in that house, and they were imparting back to us. I'm saying, I'll take it. Bring it on. You know, I'm not looking for any great name preacher to have to lay hands on me, because I'm just silly enough to believe that the same Holy Ghost that's in them is the same Holy Ghost that's in me. This is the same. There is no little Holy Ghost. There is no, you know, they got the little Holy Ghost, and I got the big Holy Ghost. How many know the power of God is just and strong and mighty? And as a matter of fact, they probably have more faith at times than we do, because they're just young enough to believe if Jesus said it, then it should happen. Amen? Hallelujah. If you ever get the chance of kids lay hands on you, you better let it happen. Yeah. Amen? Because they got some faith. They got some power. They had a picture the other night on the carpet. Somebody put it on there on Facebook of Liam laying here praying on the carpet. I said, I need a picture of that for my office. I believe in the power of prayer. I believe in kids who know how to pray. He's what, 3 years old? Don't you think they don't know what's going on? Don't you think they don't feel the presence of the Lord when they're in the house? Don't you think that they don't know that God is moving when we're in a service and things like that, that they don't feel God moving and stirring in them? I wonder what they know that they probably forget by the time they get old enough to tell us. Amen. Hallelujah. The kids used to say all the time, of course, you know, my dad, you know, that when he prayed for you, he'd get the Holy Ghost jerk and his head would, you know, start to jerk. And that's how he was. He was a man of faith. And when he would pray and he would shake his heads, and the kids, when you get ready to pray for them, they'd say, you got to shake your head when you're done. We're like, why you got to do it? Well, I don't know. Cause Pap says when Pap shakes his head, that means you got it. You got it. So they were just convinced that was just Pap shaking his head and saying, you got it. You got it. You know? So, I mean, they just had faith in that and knew that if Pat prayed and if he shook his head, that means it was done. It was accomplished. It was taken care of. I mean, no, we need to have that kind of faith. If you got to shake your head when you pray, you go ahead and shake your head. Just whatever works. Amen. But there is an impartation in our lives. Amen. There's an impartation in our life that we receive from others. I mean, no, we come into the house of God and receive every time. You're never too old to receive impartation, or ever too grown up that you don't need God to move for you, or don't need somebody to impart into your life, or somebody to be there with you. How many know there must be some mighty men and women of God that'll stand up and say, not my baby, not today, and not according to your word. There's a higher calling. There's a greater power. power that's got their hand on this baby, and I will do what I need to do to provide a place of an ark of safety that place that baby in the ark. How many know we have an ark named Jesus Christ? Hebrews said he was our ark. He was our mercy seat. He was our propitiation. He is our blood-sprinkled mercy seat. So if I'm going to lay my baby in the hands of anybody, I'm going to lay him in an ark named Christ Jesus and say, you have a place prepared of safety for them, that even when the floodwaters rise, even when it looks like the Pharaohs are against us, there is a place called a mercy seat, called an ark, called a propitiation that I can trust. What's up underneath of his wings? Psalms 91 says, he that dwelleth in that secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings, Amen. You can trust. His truth is my shield and my buckler. How many know you can trust what's up underneath of his wings today? Hallelujah. If you ever get the chance to just get in that secret place, that mercy seat, and we've all been brought into that place, and just let him put his wings around you. Just let him cover you with his feathers from the wings of the mercy seat. Hallelujah. There is a place of safety, a place of provision, that where we realize that that ark was blood sprinkled. The lamb's blood had to be sprinkled on that ark or in that place of safety. Amen. Hallelujah. It is because of that provision. It is because of the shedding of blood that we have a place to go and say, I'm just going to rest right up underneath of Papa's arms. Because in Papa's arms, there is safety. There is provision. There is life. There is power. There is hope. Hallelujah. No matter where we are in our life, there is always a place where we can go to find hope and peace and power through God. Amen. Hallelujah. The scripture declared that our children can be at peace and that our houses can be at peace. And the scripture says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. How many know we don't have to let any weapon formed against you be victorious over what we know God has already spoken in our lives? God ever give you any promises in here today? God ever spoken anything over? God ever declared anything to you? The Bible's full of promises. You may not have had somebody take your hand and say, thus saith the Lord, you know, personally to you, but the Bible's full of promises that the blessings of God are to our seed, to our generations, and to our generations' generations, to our seed and our children's children's children. Amen? It is a heritage of the Lord, the fruit of the womb. As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Amen? Ready, aim, shoot. There must be some preparation. There must be some sending them out to do what God has called them to do, the purpose of God in our life. How many are thankful today for somebody in your life that helped you find your way to Jesus, that helped find your way, help you find who you were today, help you get to where you are? Because I'm guessing not any one of us in here can say, I got to where I am all by myself. Amen. Lynn says, if you go down the road and see a turtle on a fence post, chances are that turtle didn't get on that fence post all by himself. Amen? Somebody had to help you get there. I'm thankful for the people in my life that have helped me every step of the way to get to where we are now. Amen? Maybe it was grandma. Maybe it was granddad. Maybe it was the crazy lady across the road. Maybe it was the Sunday school teacher. Maybe it was the youth leader. Maybe it was, you know, a teacher, a coach, you know, a friend, a cousin, a brother, somebody that believed enough in you to say, you can do this. You got purpose in you. You got destiny. You got calling in your life. Everyone under the sound of my voice today in this room, you have calling. You have purpose and you have destiny. Don't let anybody ever take that from you. And no matter what you see with your natural eyes, you might say, but I'm not seeing that happen in my life. You keep declaring the word of the Lord.
Amen.
You keep standing strong. You keep standing in a place that says, I'm going to, as from Joshua says, choose you this day whom you're going to serve, but as for me and my house, I'm making the choice.
Yes.
How many know Joshua didn't tell us anywhere in there where Joshua goes around, takes a poll and says, what do you think? What do you think, kids? Are you with me? He said, I'm going to stand up right here, right now, and I'm going to say, you choose this day who you're going to serve, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm going to make declaration. Hallelujah. We're going to make the declaration today. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Regardless of what you see, you keep declaring that over to your house. You keep declaring that over your seed. You keep declaring that over your children. Hallelujah. And then understand God has them in the palms of his hand. Aren't you glad for that today? Aren't you glad for that, that you can trust him? You can trust him to take care of what is precious to you. Because I'm going to tell you what, if they're that precious to us, think how precious they are to a heavenly Father. Amen. Amen? Amen? If I can realize how precious that is to me, think of the love that God has over us and over our... I don't think we ever really fully comprehend or understand how wide, how deep, how high the love of God is in our life. Amen? And how much he really, truly, indeed cares for us. And his love is boundless. It's limitless. It just goes to the ends of the earth. Amen? Hallelujah. I challenge you today. I challenge you to think about the power that you have, the power of life and death that's in your tongue, that you can speak life, that you can speak destiny, that you can speak purpose, and keep speaking it no matter what you see. Amen? Keep speaking it no matter what you see, and keep declaring it and see God move on behalf of those that you are asking him to move in. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you this morning. Hallelujah.